Hello, Bond fans. Welcome back to Bond by Numbers. On this episode, we're going to be ranking the pre-title sequences, which is something we've had in the works for a little while, but we've never really managed to get around to doing it. Now that our three non-Bonds are over and we're looking further down the tunnel at the conclusion of our entire podcast, we needed to get this one out there, not just for us, but for you guys too, because a Bond film really needs a good start, and the pre-title sequences do that for us. My name is Scott Powell. Thank you very much for joining us here on this episode. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts with the most, Jeff and Josh, 00 Chapman and Taylor, respectively.
Hello, everyone.
Now, guys,
this
episode is pretty self-explanatory. It'll be even more self-explanatory for those who have listened to and enjoyed our Bond song rankathon from previously in 2023, just a little while ago. We did that one where we ranked all the Bond songs according to our little tiers, and now we're going to do the same thing with the pre-title. So if you guys are happy, and if listeners are happy, well, it doesn't matter if they're happy, they're going to deal with this anyway. We are just jumping straight into this one.
We definitely are. And we will point out that you may notice a Bond film missing. No, it's not Never Say Never Again. No, it's not 1967 Casino Royale. It is Dr. No, because that did not have a pre-title sequence.
Not in the traditional sense of it. Absolutely correct, Josh. And so we've left that out, and we've ranked 24 of the Eon productions without, as Josh says, Dr. No. And just so you guys at home, if you haven't listened to the Bond Song Rankathon episode, which is a lot of fun, and we do encourage you to do that, a little information here on how the rankings are going to work. So we have six different tiers, starting with the Eon Elite, or Nobody Does It Better. These are going to be first, second, and third choices for each of us, earning 7, 6, and 5 points. Then we have Tier 2, the Strong Starters, or Sheer Magnetism, darling, if you prefer. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Each of those will receive 4 marks, or 4 points. Our third tier, the Serviceable Plus tier, represented by the quote, Hire Me or Fire Me, it's entirely up to you. That's films 10 to 15, or pre-title sequences 10 to 15. Each of those is awarded 3 marks. Tier 4 is our Lacking Thrust. This is when we're starting to get into the less exciting, perhaps less, in our opinions at least, the less critical, motivating, inspirational ones. But still okay, you know, they're still okay. Represented by the quote, don't think, just let it happen, which isn't, I know, it's a horrible quote.
Not kosher.
It's not. It's totally not. It's the best I could do, though, to fit with this, because you just kind of let it happen, right? As you're watching the pre-title sequence that you don't really care much about. Then we have our fifth tier, which are the Ephemeral Fancies, numbers 20, 21, and 22, minnows pretending they're whales, as Dr. No would say, or rather, as Bond would say to Dr. No. And then we have our sixth and final tier with the title sequences numbers 23 and 24, the 00 Dreadful, Shocking, Positively Shocking, and these will be awarded no points. So what we're going to do, starting with that tier, we'll talk about what our choices were for the pre-title sequences, and then we'll tally it up. So as we discuss, gentlemen, I'm going to be keeping track of our scores, so to speak, on the master scoring sheet. Nothing you have to worry about. And I don't think there's anything else we need to say, is there, apart from thank you for joining and checking out our episode.
Thank you for joining us.
And if you'd like to go rank these 24 yourself, put them in tiers, then join us, you know, hit pause and go do that. Otherwise, let's get ready to do this.
Let's do it.
All right, we're ready to go. We're locked in. We're starting with Tier 6, the 00 Dreadful, 0 points awarded for these. Boys, let's hear what you had for place number 24.
Okay, I'll go first. I went with Diamonds Are Forever.
Okay, right. D-A-F.
Because that just, like, I mean, I guess just seeing Connery with gray hair and not even being that old and just, but looking like, I don't know, just, he just walks in and he phones it in and then he does this stupid, get something off your chest choke. I don't know, man. I was like, really?
I hear you.
I don't know. So that one just.
Yeah. It was my 24th as well. I put this right at the bottom, Jeff.
Oh, really?
Exactly, okay. For the same reasons. And, you know, it's not so much that Diamonds Are Forever isn't a good film. I think it's a fun film.
Fun.
It is a fun film, man. We had a lot of fun with it. But this pre-title sequence is lame as fuck. And not only does Connery look horizontal in it, but the Blofeld in the mud, like just beating up a bunch of people till we have that scene. It just feels so phoned in and so dull. And after the majesty of majesties, this is what we get as an end to that. Like, come on. It was really lame for me and obviously for you. So, Josh,
the dubbing and ADR wasn't great either in that sequence.
No, it wasn't.
Like, no, it wasn't. Not
like,
at all.
Where is Blofeld? And then the guy's like,
that was terrible.
Yeah. Cairo. Yeah. So terrible.
Can here to kill.
Oh, God. And what's crazy, too, is like, not crazy, but terrible, is like the Spectre uniforms. We get introduced to the new Spectre uniform, and it's terrible. Mm. The jumpsuits from before were much, much attractive. But
well, 00 Taylor, what was your number 24?
It wasn't Diamonds Are Forever, just to clarify.
Yeah, well, let's get to it.
So here's a great idea. Let's spend millions on location shooting, getting control of the infrastructure of the Italian countryside and the highway system and the quarries. Let's spend millions on stunt drivers and to create an epic car, to create an intense epic car chase with the narrative momentum of the previous film. And then in the editing room, let's butcher it into a barely comprehensible mess. Mm. I give 24 to Quantum of Solace.
All right. Really? Yeah. I hear you, man. I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
Yep.
I'm not too far away with that one either, as we'll see in a moment. Well, there's our 24th
spot. I got triggered there. I do apologize.
Not at all. Mm. Let's go to number 23, also receiving 0 points. For me, this might be a bit of a surprise, okay? And Josh, I'm just going to say, don't spill your coffee twice, okay? But for me,
you spill your coffee twice.
Majesties is a really lame opening. I can't get behind that line he delivers. I find the whole pursuit of an ethereal Diana Rigg on the beach kind of lame. Although I love the film, I really, really find this opening sequence poor. And I get it, the whole don't show Bond's face, it's a new Bond. But then the whole breaking of the fourth wall, I find it really poor. I don't like that one at all. I went for number 23 for Majesties. The only reason I didn't make it 24 is because I legitimately think Diamonds is worse. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Mine was Die Another Day. Paint by numbers, Brosnan opening, but more loud and obnoxious than the previous and missing the flair of the previous Brosnan openings. It was interesting. It foreshadowed what was to come. I might... You know, like, if I do like how in the title sequence they did have this story of Bond's torture in there, like that was original, but we're talking the pre-title sequence that leads in from it. And I don't know, like, I just...
Okay.
I just found like it's just boring. It's just boring action.
You will have some popular opinions agreeing with you there. I know our listeners won't... Several of our listeners won't be too far behind you there, I'm sure.
Jeff?
I chose You Only Live Twice.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was cool space.
Yeah.
You know, but I was like, I just didn't like the whole thing about Chinese girls and it was cool effects, but I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I was like, yeah.
We give you Best Duck. Ugh. Terrible.
Yeah.
I do like the Murphy bed assassination, though. That's great. It's a good way to open the story.
I just didn't like how when the guys are shooting the guns, it looks like they're also being like they're also using that out of date weight loss belt that was like you turn it on, like it shakes the fat off you. That's what the guys look like when they're shooting that gun.
Oh, right? Yeah, I know what you're. Okay. Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about. Yeah,
that's exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Oh boy.
All right. Well, that's it then, guys. 0 points then for those films, for us, at least in our respective choices. Now we're moving on to tier five, films 20 to 22, The Ephemeral Fancies, each earning one mark for their pre-title sequence. So number 22, Josh, you've already said it. It was Quantum of Solace for you. It's number 22 for me. I agree with everything you said. All the money spent to be, you know, chopped up and ruined in the cutting room floor just to satisfy some, I don't know what they were trying to do here. I know a lot has been written about the editing of Quantum. It's one of the things that a lot of Bond fans can't get behind, and it's one of the things that a lot of Bond fans really like about the film too. But the pre-title sequence, yeah, number 22 for me.
Yeah, if that was shot in or edited in any more professional, non-art house manner, I'm quote unquote art house, I think it could have been an amazing opening to Quantum of Solace, but it was just squandered terribly.
What was your number 22?
Diamonds Are Forever. Pretty much what you guys said, everything about it. I guess it's just nostalgia that makes me kind of love it in a campy kind of way that it is. But hate the other ones more. So that's really all I have to say about that. I like the Connery ruthlessness. I don't like it, but I, you know, it's kind of tonally ambivalent because you have like that, like, you know, the bikini strangulation, and then you have like terrible ADR. We meet the new Blofeld, and I think Charles Gray is, I think he's great in other things. I just think he's a miscast as Blofeld, in my opinion. And then Mankiewicz is like, you know, knows that as a Bond fan in terms of like not just the movies, but the books. Okay, we get it, Mankiewicz. You have mud baths. Very cool. Very cool. You're a funny guy. Anyway.
Well, that's the three of us having voted on Diamonds now, and it has scored 1 point in total. So I think that's pretty representative. 00 Chapman, you're number 22.
Wait, it was For Your Eyes Only.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Eyebrow raised here.
Really?
Well, I'm not going to say too much cheesy yet, but explain.
Like, the helicopter part was okay, but I just didn't like, it was like dropping him in the chimney and then the woo, like, you know, it's like.
I agree the end of it is not great. Yeah.
The helicopter, like that part was obviously, that's quite well done, but I just overall, I was like, yeah.
Okay, right. Josh, what about you? Number 21 now.
Thunderball, actually.
Okay.
It's trying to outdo Goldfinger, but it tests credibility with the jetpack. Great fight with the cross-dresser, even though it doesn't age well, but like some parts of the movie as well, in terms of Thunderball. But I don't know. Like, I just found his term as a Connery opener, it's just kind of blah. Yeah.
It is kind of blah. Yeah, it is. Okay, Jeff, I'll go next.
My 21
is
Die Another Day.
Die Another Day.
I just actually recently adjusted it because I actually had a rate high. And then I was like, I've thought about it. I'm like, this is, yeah. I moved it down, actually, because I was like, yeah.
Oh, so Free Rise Only gets bumped up a bit?
Yeah, like I actually had it for more points. And I was like, no, you're right. I was like, no. The hovercraft is cool, you know, shows Bond being captured, which is different. It's still,
yeah. Okay.
But with the surfing, right? Very good. I love that surfing, that covert Black Ops.
Oh, yeah. The best part of that was actually the camo, like their outfit. That's cool. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My 21 was Die Another Day.
And mine was Thunderball.
And my number 21, again, might surprise you here, but this is, it's just not one that it's my least favorite part of this film. And I think it's slow. It's Live and Let Die.
Wow. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Like I love the film. It's really high on my rankings of film, just like Majesty is. But I think the pre-title sequence, it's lame. I can't see past a rubber snake in any decade. 100%. I just can't see past it. I feel like the United Nations stuff, it's a long wait for a really slow payoff. And then you got the funeral stuff, which is kind of cool. I like the stunt funeral, the coffin up the guy and all of that. But I get why, for plot's sake, it's important. You get your three agents killed, boom, 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 and then the film begins. Yep. it has a role, but I find it really quiet and kind of lame. And it's a bit like the Diamonds thing for me. Quantum was more an issue with the editing and how wasted I thought the wonderful chase was. Here, I'm just kind of bored watching this play out. So I went for, I went 21 for this. But it gets a point, you know, it gets a point. So on to number 20, guys. Still in tier five here.
So for 1 point, I'll go. Mine is Live and Let Die.
Oh, you're kidding. Okay. Right.
For all the reasons you just said.
Sorry, man. That's good. We're on the same page.
No. That's because it's like the assassinations are really lame. And like, obviously the jazz funeral thing is cool, but like, I don't know. The guy that just up and dies, I don't know. It's just like, it's very humdrum, and it's not worthy of like, it's almost not worthy of like a pre-title sequence.
Well, I wonder what Double O Taylor's going to think. Does he agree with us?
Yeah. Sorry, this is where I screwed up, guys. I mixed up Thunderball and Live and Let Die. So my bad. Okay. So my 21 is actually Live and Let Die. It's okay. It sets up the story. No Bond, though. It gets really good when the titles begin, but that doesn't really help when reviewing the pre-title sequence. No. It sets up the story. That's fine, but there's not much really else besides. Like, that's it.
All right. Well, then Live and Let Die comes in at 3 points in total for that one, and we all situated it in the fifth tier. My number 20 is... I know, again, it's one of my favorite films, but Casino Royale, it doesn't do a lot for me. The bathroom scene, the origin story, I get its importance, and I do like the way that the scene is edited, but I get most of the excitement from the song and the transition into that animated world. I don't really get a lot from the fight so much, so I'm going to go for Casino Royale, and I know that's not a popular choice, but that's how I feel. In terms of what I like from a pre-title sequence, it doesn't really give it to me.
I do have to say that the Craig Bond transitions from like the last, like, you know, scene of the pre-titles to going into the song or the credits are awesome. All of them, I think, in my opinion. Like, anyways, but that's here
and
there.
Moving up now to tier four, these are the 16th to the 19th pre-title sequences.
So 2 points.
For 2 points each, yeah. So number 19 for me, right, I had to think about this one. I don't dismiss its popularity and I don't dismiss its energy. I do, however, think it's too long and unnecessarily so. I'm going for The World Is Not Enough and that kind of storyboarded chase along the Thames and the banking scene that came before it and all of that stuff.
Fair enough.
Right, Josh, your number 20.
My number 20 was The Man with the Golden Gun.
Okay.
I like this sequence. I like it. But compared to other Bond movies, it feels like some B movie of the period. It's cool to see noir legend. Like, yeah. It's cool to see noir legend Mark Lawrence up against Saruman the White. And the hook of, you know, wax form Bond is exciting, I guess. But it's just not as good as the previous entries. I do like how it's scored, though. The scoring is really cool and how it was edited and whatnot. But I don't know. It just doesn't have the oomph as the other entries, in my opinion.
All right. Well, moving up to tier four and the 19th pre-title sequence, I went with The World Is Not Enough. I know it's a popular one and it's got that great boat chase, but that great boat chase and the balloon thing after it goes on a long while. And I feel like...
It's very long.
It's not... It could have been condensed for the sake of, you know, the purpose of the film. And anyway, I just thought it was a bit too long before we got there. And I got a little bit bored. I did. Like, there's only so many times that Brosnan can, you know, adjust his tie underwater before I'm rolling my eyes a bit. So, yeah.
Really?
The World Is Not Enough. Oh, 19 for me.
I don't know about that.
It was a very Roger Moore move, in my opinion. I kind of enjoyed
The first time or the eighth time that he did it?
I mean, he only did it once.
It felt like a lot, though. Because telegraphs those. He does.
He does telegraph them, 100%. You know it's coming, 100%, yeah.
It's coming, yeah. What about you, Josh?
Mine was No Time to Die.
Okay, right.
We get a flashback sequence for the opening, for one thing, which feels like something belonging to a long-running TV series and a Bond movie. Then we get this short film of, you know, like of nostalgia, essentially, Craig era visual exposition. You know, that's exciting and it's fun, no doubt. It's fine, but I mean, it's just not, I don't know. It's kind of the rules on enough situation, an overextended, you know, sequence. But to me, it just felt like it just, they're shoving everything they can into this movie.
Okay, Jeff, how about you, buddy?
I said The Living Daylights. I mean, it's good action. You know, it's good stunts, good action, but I don't know, like it, there's, there's better openings. And I mean, I know that it's technically the first film with,
Big TD.
Yeah. Timothy Dalton, but I don't know.
All right. All right, guys, let's move up 18 then.
Yeah.
Number 18 for me. I know it's a classic, but From Russia with Love for me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go that one. That's my 18th favorite. It's incredible to hear myself say that and to think about 18th. What's coming after that in terms of films. But in terms, yeah, that's
it's, yeah.
In terms of what I like in my pre-title sequences, doesn't really give it to me. And Josh mentioned The Man with the Golden Gun just a moment ago. I think The Man with the Golden Gun is basically for your From Russia with Love done a little bit differently and done a little bit more intelligently. So,
yeah, there you go.
Anyway, that's just me. But okay, on to you guys. Number 18.
That was my Thunderball.
Thunderball, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I should love this opening. Bond beating up a crossdresser doesn't age well, as I said. And
nope.
You know, and that jetpack was the first hints that we're going past Fleming here. Giant squid or no giant squid.
Yeah. Kraken was in the background waving its tentacles somewhere. If you look, I'm sure it's there.
Yeah, there's that argument where people going like, oh, it's just not down to earth like Fleming's books are or something like that. You know, the war era. I'm like, Have you read Dr. No? And it's avalanche of guano and the giant squid.
What about you, Jeff? Where'd you go for number 18, buddy?
I went to Octopussy.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I like the plane. I thought it was kind of fun, but like it was entertaining, but to be honest, I think there's...
Was it a load of bull?
There you go.
Yeah, you're Toro, a Toro too.
You're a Toro too.
Nice.
I don't know. And every time I see, like, when she drives past and she's, I'm like, is this like the Family Vacation or like, you know, like the
European
Christy Brinkley?
Yeah. That's what a European. Yeah. Yeah. That's, yeah. That's every time I think that, but yeah.
All right. Number 17, guys, I'll go For Your Eyes Only. I was just a few spaces there above you. Jeff, I liked it a little more than you, but I agree. It's got a hammy ending, if you take the pun. Yeah, you get that one? Get it? Telemedicine, hammy. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah.
The jokes aren't as funny when you got to spell them out, are they?
No, they're not.
Anyway, For Your Eyes Only. The helicopter stuff is good. The little nod to Tracy is nice. I like what they're trying to do there. But then, the rest of that sequence kind of ignores the fact that Tracy was a serious character. And Bond can shift pretty quick into the smiley fun when he wants to.
Yeah, it's almost like it's deliberately done that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm. How about you, Josh?
We are on 17. I chose A View to a Kill.
Whoa.
We get Bond on skis. Barry at his mid-80s best. That's great. Even the iceberg sub is forgivable, especially in the Moore era. I like the iceberg sub, and I also like what's in the iceberg sub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that caviar. Really cool. Right? It's the beluga.
It's a caviar.
Too bad about the surfing music with faux Beach Boys cover.
Yeah, that's copyright territory.
Yeah, even Brian Wilson is so powerful that he can tell the Broccolis to go take it. Take off, you know? So anyway. So that was my choice for number 17.
All right, Jeffrey.
For 17 or 18?
17.
Okay, yeah. Sorry, yeah, we're on 17. So mine is actually License to Kill.
Okay.
I did like the sequence. I thought it was fun. You know, the whole
fishing?
Yeah, that was fun. I don't know what else to say. Like, it was fun to see, like, hey, yeah, we just got to stop and we're going to go, you know, get some, you know, drug dealers and stuff.
Go catch a drug lord and make the wedding in time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It yeah. is. And I like how, you know, they had the note like on the side of the helicopter.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. Follow us or whatever.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I didn't say just married. They're hanging like Budweiser cans from the
Well, I'd rather see a helicopter like that fly over the bridge in the Keys instead of, you know, like a Harrier, if you know what I'm talking about.
You mean like True Lies?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Josh, what was it's my turn, isn't it? My 17th? Or we've all done 17. On to 16. Now, 16 is the top film in our fourth tier. For me, it was Thunderball. So, Josh, I'm not too far away from you on that one. I think maybe I did like how the fight itself was choreographed nicely, like quite physically. The same way that his fight in You Only Live Twice in Osata, where he fights like The Rock's grandfather. I thought that was well choreographed. I got the same sort of vibe from it. So I enjoyed Connery's physical presence in the scene, but I totally agree with you. Not only does it not age well, it's just not really that compelling. Like, it's not that interesting. He killed two of my agents and he chases them down. It's like the whole thing is just about getting to the jetpack on the balcony, which is so short a scene for something that is magnificently remembered, or remembered so magnificently. And I don't know, like, there's something about it that is just underwhelming. So 16 feels right.
It's Barry at his sleepiest, in my opinion, but I feel Thunderball is a very sleepy Barry score.
It is. It is
like sleepy, it has moments of big and brass, but then it goes.
Well, half the movie repeats strokes underwater, so the score is just following along.
Every breaststroke, every jackknife dive, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. I chose No Time to Die.
All right.
I liked it. I mean, you know, I'm still, because I like the Madeline Origins, the deadbeat mom, you know, the bike chase, DB5, you know, it was fun. I guess it's the highest for tier four for me. Mm-hmm. I just, there was 15 others I liked more.
There you go.
That's what it comes down to.
Of course it does. Yeah, of course it does.
I'm trying my best to find, you know, negative things about the ones on the lower list and stuff. It's mostly just because I just like other stuff more. And that's really what it comes down to.
Well, of course. But, you know, that's what everybody who does these things, that's what it's all about, isn't it?
It is.
So what's your 16, buddy?
I chose Skyfall. It's great to see the MI6 team working together in the Craig era. It's tense and exciting, but it pales to Adele's title sequence and the rest of the film. And I just found that tractor sequence was just a little bit too ridiculous. But I get it.
It was ridiculous, yeah. Okay. Let's get on then to tier 3, Serviceable Plus, with number 15.
That's 3 points.
Tier 3, is worth 3 points each. I'll start off, guys. My 15th pre-title sequence in ranking is You Only Live Twice. I like it. I don't like the dialogue, particularly the taste of Chinese women and all of that stuff. It was hideous at the time, and it's just more hideous now. But I feel like the setup of the Lewis... what was the director's name again?
Lewis Gilbert.
Yeah, the Lewis Gilbert setup of like, oh, okay, I'm gonna do this 3 times. Like, we get it there. The space capsule thing is cool. There's great Barry music going on, and I do think it's neat to end with the death of Bond, you know, and then to start with his funeral. It's good stuff in here. It's tier 3 for me, but yeah, I'm 15 for You Only Live Twice.
Okay.
I went Casino Royale. Okay. I know you guys kind of don't. I don't know, man. I know it's kind of simple, but I like it because it's a prologue. It's black and white. It shows Bond's origins of becoming, you know, a double agent.
That's right. Yeah.
And it's a little different because it's kind of, you know, this is we've talked about this many times, how, you know, Craig is kind of more like Jason Bourne because he's very physical in all the fight. But I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was kind of interesting. And I mean, yeah, it. As you know, opening titles go, it's very pretty much humdrum. But I don't know. I thought it encompassed sort of a neat intro into the new Bond. That's all.
Very good.
And it did. It did.
All right. Spectre is my choice for number 15. Hoyt Van Hoytema's beautiful cinematography, those Day of the Dead tracking shots, the finesse of the editing, both fantastically exhilarating and yet slightly ephemeral, weightless even. Like, it just, maybe because, you know, it's Spectre, and that's kind of what I got from that movie as a whole. Like, it's trying to be something great, but is really something mediocre in the end. And I think, like, the opening of Spectre builds up a lot of expectation that it falls short from.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
I agree with that assessment.
I do agree with your assessment of the film. Yeah. Although I must say, on like the last time I watched it, I was aware of enjoying it more than I did the first time I watched it. And probably,
I agree with that.
Probably a redux on the film. If we were to review it again, it might render a more generous score, but yeah,
potentially. Okay.
Number 14 for me, guys, is License to Kill. Number 14. Jeff said it all when he said it a couple moments ago. I won't add much to it here. License to Kill, 14 for me.
Okay. Okay. I chose OHMSS. I did like it. I know that I rated it higher than both of you. I don't know. I
haven't done OHMSS.
Yeah, he hasn't done it yet.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, I apologize. Sorry.
No worries.
I shouldn't assume. We know what that does. But yes. I don't know. It was different. I like the chase. I like the sound effects of the cars. So I guess I kind of appreciated the tongue in cheekness of the, well, this doesn't happen to the other guy. I liked it, but I agree that I'm sure 98% of Bond fans are like, how can you break the fourth wall like that?
Well, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It is. I did enjoy it. I liked the car chase, and at first, you know, I don't know. I find it an entertaining opening to the Bond film.
Yeah. Okay.
And
well, there's some cool stuff going on there. There is. There is. Admittedly.
So that's why it warranted for me. It warranted, you know, the tier three, and I guess 3 points. Yeah.
Do you guys think that maybe the GoldenEye post-credit sequence where Bond and Onatopp are having that chase, do you think there's any sort of callbacks there, or am I just projecting?
A little bit, yeah. And I don't know if anyone's seen Mission Impossible 2, they kind of rip off that scene a little bit. Not to mention Notorious for the majority of that film. But anyways, I can see that.
Maybe.
I could kind of see where you're coming from there. Yeah, it's a little bit like that. Yeah.
All right, Josh, what's your 14?
My 14 is Moonraker.
Moonraker goes.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy. You want
to
say anything about it?
It's trying to top The Spy Who Loved Me. That's what Moonraker is all about, really. And Star Wars. The aerial stunt work with the skydiving is wonderful, you know, and it starts great until we have the moment where the Moore era camp strikes its ugly head and we get Wile E. Coyote Jaws flapping his wings to the circus tent below.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. It does that.
As much as like not using Earth logic, pun intended, I guess, on how they steal the space shuttle in the opening part, I still found it was still a cool sequence. Anyways.
All right. Okay. Right. I hear you, pal. don't know how much I agree with you, but I certainly hear you. Number 13, then, back to me. My 13 is The Man with the Golden Gun, which I think is an improvement on From Russia with Love. Even though From Russia with Love is dark and mysterious and brooding and cool, I think that it's really cool to have the villain really feature here in a way that he doesn't in that aforementioned one. And I think it's also really neat to have the Bond reveal at the end just be that kind of wax statue and him shooting the fingers off. It gets me going for the movie, even though it is slow. I love that Nick Knack plays a role in it as well. We see so many important things like the Tabasco, the oysters, the beach. We see
the James Bond island, the Phuket. Right?
Yeah, and we get a nice tour of the interior spaces that we're all so fond of in that film. So I'm going 13 for The Man with the Golden Gun, nearly mid-table.
Yeah. Nice. And it's cool to see like an old, like, you know, an old gangster guy like Mark Lawrence, you know, having some fun.
Cool,
like,
yeah.
Late in his career. Sorry, Al. Which is, what's funny is because I've only saw Mark Lawrence like in noirs I've been watching recently. And the fact that that's him, I think that's freaking pretty cool. He's also the guy that throws Plenty O'Toole from the balcony in Diamonds
Are
Forever,
yeah,
too.
He sure is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right, Chapman, what's your 13?
Man with a Golden Gun.
Cool.
The same reasons.
Nice one. There, well, in that case, we can stop for a second and add up the scores here. The Man with the Golden Gun gets 1 from Josh and gets 3 from each of us. So that's our third film in with a total of 7 points now for The Man with the Golden Gun. 7 points for The Man with the Golden Gun. All right. Number 13, 00 Taylor.
So nostalgia plays a big part in this, and not in terms of like the Bond series, but just in terms of my own personal experiences. I saw this movie in the theater with all my friends. This is like after GoldenEye came out and everyone was kind of into James Bond, and I was seeing all the Bond films I hadn't seen previously at that time. And so it was really cool to go see a Brosnan film. And that, of course, was The World Is Not Enough, to see that in the theater. And the boat chase, I loved the opening of World Is Not Enough. Like, I don't know, like, it's a bit overlong, yeah, but I love the boat chase. I love the Moore nods. I like seeing Bond injured. I like the story that it was telling and setting up the rest of the movie. And I don't know, like, it just worked for me. And yeah.
All right. Well, you got it 3 points anyway. So let's go up to number 12. Number 12 for me is Spectre. Josh said it just a couple of spaces ago when he ranked it 15th. I'm going 12 for Spectre. Similar reasons. I think it is fun. It is engaging. I'm not really bored. But ironically, the part that does bore me the most is the helicopter part, where Craig's moving and on all of his kind of like his physical acting as he's kind of moving his way around the rooftops and all. I'm really into that. And I love the macro setting. But once we get to really see the macro setting, I kind of feel like I'm a bit dazed by it. So I think that's just still a good score. You know, I mean, 12 is mid-table.
Yeah.
Mid-table for Spectre.
For sure. Mm-hmm.
Jeff?
My 12 is The World Is Not Enough.
Oh, well, there we go. We can lock in with that one as well.
I really like it. It's quite long, but I don't know. It's an awesome boat chase. I liked the Brosnan one-liners, you know.
Moments, too.
Yeah, I thought it was quite entertaining. Very long, like super, super long intro, but I thought it was very entertaining. And I don't know about you, but I could watch Brosnan adjust his tie underwater, I guess.
Yeah, I know you could.
It doesn't bother me.
Yep. Doesn't really. Okay, well, guys, that brings The World Is Not Enough to 8 points. So you guys both gave it 3 apiece in tier 3, and I situated it in tier 4, which gives it 8 points in total, and it's now in the lead. So we'll see as we keep moving to number 11.
Scott, you missed me. Yeah. I got to do 12.
Oh, sorry, pal. Go ahead. Do your 12.
Anyway.
That's okay. I'll cut it.
I chose License to Kill.
License to Kill.
Okay. Well,
yeah. License to Kill. That's right. Great stunt work. Great intro to Sanchez's menace. And nostalgia factor is high with Bond and David Hedison's Felix charging into action. The plane fishing and pounding, you know, the whole scene is pounding with like Michael Kamen going all diehard with like his rendition of the Bond theme. I love that part about it. And, I kind of wish Michael Kamen had more of a chance at the Bond franchise, to be honest. But, you know, it leads into that wonderful wedding skydive. You know, it's just not as great as the other entries. Again, it's a case of that, right? But it's good.
It's a numbers game,
yeah.
Well, I can tell you guys that we are all voted now on License to Kill. It has an 8 point as well. It shares 8 points with The World Is Not Enough. So it's going to find itself somewhere in this area, I think, too, when it comes out the wash. So it could be a tier 3 for the final. We'll see. On to number 11. Number 11 for me was Die Another Day. Higher up on my sheets than yours. I liked this Brosnan start. I don't like the film terribly much, and I know that's an opinion that's shared by many, but I think the start of the film, the first third of the film, it's quite engaging, it's quite interesting. And I like that there is plot important stuff going on here. I think that the hovercraft chase is actually really nicely executed. I find it exciting, even though I'm guessing it was filmed much slower than it appears on the screen. I think Brosnan looks great. I think he's really engaging in these moments. The surfing to enter the start of the film doesn't really bother me. Like, I think that's kind of a little throwback to Goldfinger getting out the wetsuit and all that stuff. Like, I like this stuff.
Yeah,
Die Another Day. Okay. I think the film goes downhill after this, but I like the beginning of the film. And I also like the title sequence, but I can't vote on that here. But yeah, I went for 11, so it's high on my list. I'm aware of that, but I would just encourage you to have another watch of it. Think of it as its own little thing and have another watch of it.
Fair.
Okay, fair enough.
So we're all locked in with that. I scored that 3 points. Okay. Jeff gave that 1 point and Josh gave that no points.
Yeah.
So that's us at 4.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff, over to you. Number 11.
It was my 11?
Number 11.
Oh, it was Tomorrow Never Dies. Okay. It's like exciting. You know, it's got explosions, planes. Like, I don't know. It's pretty good. It's very fun to watch. Pretty good. Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, Josh?
I think that sums it up. That's why I was just going to say, like, I think even though I didn't rate Die Another Day pretty high, I got to say, I think the Brosnan ones have pretty good openings.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
If it weren't for nostalgia, I'd probably have them a little higher. But yeah, you're probably right about that. My choice for 11 was You Only Live Twice. Epic space shit, epic music, and that wild setup with Bond dying. It's a great hook. I still, you know, yeah, it's the racism of the scene that unfortunately just doesn't age well.
Mm-hmm.
Nope.
But I love Barry's Yolt score. Like, it's so good.
It is good.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And I can confirm now, guys, that You Only Live Twice is locked in with 6 points. Josh and I, the only ones to score that. Me at 15.
Yeah, I was gonna say because I gave it a double.
You gave it a double.
Oh,
dreadful.
Yeah, man.
Shocking.
All right. Well, here we go into our number 10. This is our top film in tier 3. Slide. Number 10. Now, for me,
yes.
I'm going with A View to a Kill.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
I like this opening sequence. I think it's good fun. It's top 10 material for me. Just top 10 material. Yeah, the non-Beach Boys does take me out of it a little bit, but it's fun. It's what Roger Moore is all about. And I love it when he gets down, like he's taken off those ski boots, like he's done it before, you know, he's sitting on that Shea Lounge or whatever it is. It pops out when he hits the button. He's got the beluga. He's got the drink. He's got the girl. He's got it all. Like it's damn cool. And I also love
there was a girl in there too. I was all about the caviar.
I also like that this is one of the first times we get anything like snowboarding on film, and Roger Moore's Bonds are good for this. You know, it's the first time we had a water ski or a jet ski. First time we're getting some snowboardy type thing going on. I'm not saying it's the first. I'm saying it's one of the first. So I think there's some cool stuff going on here. And I remember being excited by this as a kid, and maybe nostalgia plays a bit of fun into this, but I also get excited as an adult because I like to think that that's really Roger Moore's 55-year-old body flying around. Like, it gives me hope. It gives me hope. And
there you go.
Yeah, I love it. So it's good fun. And it's snow. And I got a thing for snow, I got to tell you. So there you go. As a skier, I'm into it. Number 10. Chapman.
Okay. Yeah. Mine is Moonraker.
Okay, right.
Okay. I like the skydiving. I know it's cheesy, and the space shuttle theft is, you know, that's quite interesting. And I thought, you know what? I just for the sheer the uniqueness of it.
Yeah.
I gave it the 3.
All right.
3 points on that.
So it's top of your tier 3. Josh, what's yours?
My 10 is GoldenEye.
Okay.
We got that bungee jump, breathtaking. Sean Bean, and he lives, kind of. the efficiency of the modern spy craft that's displayed there. slightly sullied, unfortunately, by that CGI over-the-top motorcycle jump and playing catch. That, like, the sequence is beautiful up until, like, that part. At least it leads into, like, one of the best Bond main titles ever. So, yeah.
All right. Then it's back to me for 9. Now we're entering tier 2, the strong starters. And my 9th is Goldfinger.
Okay.
I went number 9 for Goldfinger. It's small and it's condensed, but it's nice. There's a lot of quiet in this. There's a lot of spycraft, even though it's exaggerated spycraft, you know. There's a lot of suave stuff going on in here too. Like, it's actually not a lot of spycraft. There's one thing of spycraft, but two, you know. I like it. I got time for this one. It's fun to see all of the ingredients. You got him working on explosives. You got him looking fantastic in his suit. You got him swimming. You got him electrocuting a baddie. You've got him kissing a girl. And then, well, he throws the girl into the bludgeon, which is coming his way. You've got some quotes in here thrown in there. Shocking. You know, I mean, it's all in there. Like, everything you kind of want is packaged in.
Yep.
It's like a little mini movie, isn't it? So I'm going for it.
It's canned Bond. It's canned Bond.
That's right. Open it up. Take a sniff. Yeah. Canned Bond. Number 9.
Handle with care.
How about you, Jeff?
My number 9 was actually Goldeneye.
Oh, cool.
So the reason I say that is because, well, one, that the bungee jump is incredible. And I just think I remember saying something to this effect when it was the first podcast I was ever on was the Goldeneye one.
That's right. It was.
For Bond by Numbers.
Yeah.
As Jeff, the roommate. But I thought, obviously everyone knows the bungee jump, but I just thought it was a really, and it's quite exciting. Like, it, and it's a really great start to a new Bond franchise, or not a franchise, but like having a new Bond. I thought it was really sort of is like, hey guys, I'm here. You know,
it certainly beats Lazenby's entry.
Yeah. It's like Brosnan Kool-Aid guy, just breaking down the wall with the cool guy. Oh yeah. Like, that's what I feel like. Brosnan's like, hey, this is what's going on.
Yeah. That's cool. That's a good point.
I'm Bond. Mm-hmm. I liked it. So I thought it deserved 4. It's potentially nostalgia, but that's my take on it.
Now you argued it well. Josh, what about you?
My 9th was actually Majesty's.
All right.
Nice. Nice.
Another mystery box. You got Diana Rigg walking into the sea like a nymph, essentially. The purr of the black Aston Martin. The synth of the score. Despite the frame rate speed up, there were some kick-ass fisticuffs on the beach.
Yep.
It's slightly meta, yes, with Lazenby's closing line, but I love the confidence with Fleming's source material and the future as a franchise and the future of the franchise as a whole. That's shown by that fourth wall break, in my opinion. I don't know, like, I've always loved it.
I get it.
All right. Fair point. Well, that's us all in with Majesty's now, which has 7 points overall. A real mix of scores for this. When I was at 23, Chapman was at 14, and Josh is at 9. So we got a top 10, a mid-table, and an absolutely nothing for this one. So interesting, though, because we all really love the film.
I know.
All right, number 8 then. Over to me for number 8. Yeah, and it's Octopussy for me, number 8. I think that's a great start. It is also canned Bond, but canned Bond in the Roger Moore era. You got your gags, you got your action, you got your girl, you got your quote, but you've got that Acrostar and coming out the horse's ass.
Yes.
Like, and then the line at, you know, fill me up, you know, or fill it up or whatever he says to him. Like, it's good. It's really good. And if we were stretching this into the title sequence, obviously we'd be much higher because of the Rita Coolidge factor. But hey, you know, we're not.
I don't know about that.
We're not going to get into that here. It's a different episode. But number 8 for me, Octopussy.
Very nice. I also just want to say in your file that you sent us, you didn't even list it as the title of the film. You listed it as All Time High, which... Well,
okay, the reason I did
bias
that...
is bias is showing.
It's not at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, no. Wait a second here.
Well, anyways, guys...
There's a load of Toro.
Okay. It's because I used the same sheet for the Bond song, Rankathon, and I just didn't get around to editing them all.
Same sheet, different day, right?
That's right. Anyway, come on, shut up and give me your number eight.
Spectre, man. I love the Spectre opening. It's almost like, is it a one take for a good portion of it? The tracking shots are excellent. The building collapse, the helicopter scenes, I just thought it was really good. We've already talked about this, it's just like, and then I guess it hyped us up so much. And then the rest of the film kind of was almost plateaued at that point. But anyways, it's a fun film.
Well, that's in with 10 points, yeah. Guys. So that's now our leading film right now is Spectre.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Let's go up. Josh, sorry. Your turn, buddy.
My choice was For Your Eyes Only, so lean in from OHMSS, really, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. The nostalgia of Tracy's death, he who must not be named for copyright reasons, turning Bond's airlift into a drone, essentially.
He does.
Yeah, tense, exciting, I think is one of Moore's finest, moments of personal stakes, him in danger. I thought it was really well done. I kind of how there's only small interjections of Conti's score, where you get that dramatic kind of, you know that moment when he pulls the wire out and the cat squeals, and that's when the music gets really cool. Bill Conti's version of the Bond song comes in, and then the rest of it is very there's no music at all. You just hear the blades going and the helicopter descending and stuff. And
that's true. It worked. Sound editing's really good in that scene. It is.
Yeah. I really enjoy that sequence. But I love For Your Eyes Only, though, so.
Yeah, well.
That's the thing. I know I rated the title sequence super low, but I love that movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as great as, say, the sub sequence or the keel hauling or my favorite sequence in For Your Eyes Only, which is probably climbing the Mesa, right? Yeah. St. Cyril's or whatever. So, yeah.
Film is in, guys, with 7 points. We had an 8, a 17, and a 22 rating for that one. So that's quite interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's keep moving now on to our seventh. No, not sorry, not our seventh film. This is us. Yeah, number seven, right?
Number seven. Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah.
Number seven for me, we'll close it down, close our scoring down. It's No Time to Die. It is, as you guys said, with your 16 and 19 rating, it is a long, and it does do one of these sort of flashback episodes. It doesn't necessarily contribute to the Bond character, but more to Madeline's story, which it's important overall. But I think that this does a better job of being long than The World Is Not Enough. And I like seeing... Okay. This stuff. I found it interesting. I found it compelling. Maybe because I like Madeline a bit. I don't know.
I was going to say, I think that's maybe part of it.
It could be part of it. Maybe. It could be part of it. I'm interested in it. Yeah. I also like the sort of take you out horror shock of the masked man showing up. I think that's kind of interesting too. But anyway, our score here then, it's 4 from me and it's 4. So 8 in total for No Time to Die. Jeff, what's your number seven?
Skyfall. I really enjoyed the chase, the action, working alongside Moneypenny. I know that if you'll notice what some of the ones that you guys have listed really low, I'm actually going to have them quite substantially higher, but
it's okay.
I don't know. I just after, obviously rewatching them and rating them, I don't know. I said this to Scott earlier. Is that, for whatever reason, I really enjoy the Craig era pre-title sequences. I think they're pretty solid.
Yeah.
Skyfall. I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought it was bang on. I guess pun intended.
Okay, Jeff. Josh.
My choice was Casino Royale. Okay. Yeah, it's an artistic opening. Those black and white sequences of Bond earning his 007 status, I think they're expertly spliced together and is letting us know that the Craig era will be nothing like what we've seen before. And I think it works for that. I think more and more I don't really have a criteria for my favorite, what I think constitutes a good Bond, opening sequence. It's more of, I just like what I like. It's kind of a,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
Fair
yeah,
enough.
Your,
that's what
your choice.
This whole thing is an exercise in liking what I like.
Exactly.
It truly is. Let's get on to our number six, right? We're on to number six now.
Yep.
My number six, is GoldenEye. You guys have already said all of the things that I think need to be said about this one. I just put it a little bit higher than you did. It's a great opening for Brosnan. So that comes in, guys. You'd be surprised to hear now with our top score of 11. So that's in the lead right now, GoldenEye in the lead.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So my number six is A View to a Kill. For all the reasons you guys have already mentioned, I mean, I love it. It's, you know, the skiing, the, you know, the parachute, the sub, what's in the sub, caviar, you know, like I just, it's a great, it's just, I love it.
And it's in,
absolutely,
it's locked in with 9 points. So it'll be nice, a good position, I think, by the time we finish this. Josh, how about you? Number six.
Octopussy.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and you may think that's a load of Toro, you know, for being so high, but I think it's a great opening. It's Roger Moore at his best, at his driest as possible. And it's just like, it seems like, and for some reason, the comedy just works no matter how ridiculous it is, but then it's still exciting at the same time. Like, Acrostar is just, it's just fantastic. And it's a true, you know, it's all of it, you know, like it is.
It's good.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, like it's a true all time high. You know, yeah, absolutely.
That's in a 10. That's in at 10 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Then that brings us up to number five. Now we're getting to the big ones, boys. Number five for me is Tomorrow Never Dies. I think it's the best of Brosnan's opening. Ooh. I think it's action-packed, well-paced. M is great.
Yes.
I love I just love everybody's inclusion in that. And the style of the opening scene, it's really good. Yep. Arnold's score is fantastic in those moments. And it makes us really wish that we had that Katie Lang title song. But that's another thing. Tomorrow Never Dies for me, number five.
My turn?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Quantum of Solace. I know you guys.
Okay, all right.
I get it, but I love the chase. I like the sound effects. I like the action.
Right. Well, good.
It is weird. Like I see where you guys are coming from, but I don't know, man. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I'm that I'm that poor Carabinieri who's going over the quarry rolling to his death.
Brutal. That was brutal.
Man. That's how I feel about that.
Well, I think you've managed to save it from being down in the 00 dreadful corner. That's for sure.
Nice.
Your high score here, Jeff, has brought Quantum to a total of 5, which is 4 more than any of the rest of us gave it. And that brings it up, to 5 in total.
So I'm okay with that. There you go.
I do love that opening. As soon as that sequence starts, though, that opening when it starts and then zoom in from the water, right?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of like, I wanted to love it. I wanted to really love it anyway.
Okay, Josh, you're number 5.
I did.
That's right. You didn't have to.
It gets all your love. There you go.
Well, not all of it, but
my number 5 is The Living Daylights.
Okay.
It's like the Dalton era, the modern Bond, coldly professional, you know, enters the picture, handling Smirsch interloper amid skydiving, mountain climbing, and jeep riding. And Barry's score has never been better. And we get that slight 80s tech twist to it as well. I don't know. I love the opening of Living Daylights. My only flaw against it is that M should not have briefings.
No.
In the back of a Hercules. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nope.
I know.
There's a reason why they don't make those portable mobile offices. So it's whatever.
Okay, guys, here we go. It's the top of our second tier. And my fourth film, my fourth favorite pre-title sequence, which is going to close off discussion of this film, is Moonraker, much higher than either of you. And I get the Wile E. Coyote arms. I get it, Josh. I hear it all, and I appreciate it. But I have absolute respect for that aerial photography, for the stunt itself.
Oh, yeah.
Just the ambition of it, the single shot nature of the way they exit the plane. I love also the interior of that plane. I'm totally submerged into this one, or you could say I'm taken off with this one. I love it. I think it's great. So Yeah, that's Moonraker done. And let's see here. We had 10, 14, and 4. So that's 3, 6, and 4 is 10. So that's this is in with 10 marks as well.
Cool.
Jeffrey?
Very good.
So okay. Jeff's number 4.
So I chose Goldfinger because I liked it because it's unrelated to the plot. Great one-liners, exciting action, cool gadgets, shocking. Like I really enjoyed it. And again, you'll notice if you go look back at the other ones where we do rankings, a lot of the times I go like nostalgia, and that's what's going to happen here. You guys are probably seeing what. So, anyways, I'm going Goldfinger, tier 2,
yeah.
Top of my tier 2. Number I give it 4 points because it's great.
I did it for Mushroom with Love. Short and sweet, cold open, setting up the main villains by killing 007, technically. Very suspenseful. It puts you right in the middle of the action and leaves you with your jaw dropped as Barry's first notes break through at the end. You know, like it's, I don't know. I think it's, Mushroom with Love is like one of my favorite Bond films. And I just remember that opening just really captivating me when I first saw it. And that's that, yeah. Nostalgia plays a big part, of course, but I think there are strong technical arguments that can be made on how good of a sequence that is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I feel as though we're getting there, guys. This is it. Now we have reached the Aeon Elite, our first, second, and third. Mm-hmm. For each of these, we have different values. The third place film receives 5 points, the second, 6, and the first point, 007. The first film, our favorite title sequence, gets 007 points. So it's to me, to begin us then with the Aeon Elite top tier, I think The Living Daylights is one of the best pre-title sequences. I'm glad that Josh had it ranked high as well. I know it's a favorite film of his, but I didn't necessarily know he would rate it high. So I'm delighted, Josh, that you're up here with me. I think this has got everything. Again, it's like Jeff said about Brosnan, introducing a new Bond, doing it in a new, interesting way, a very grittier way. I don't always like that word gritty, but it feels right for this, you know. It's a really gritty way to do it on the rocks and the killing and the plot important point that drops in there. The Jeep chase, the explosives, the parachuting, and then landing and having the double take on the phone. Give me, you know, I can't remember what she says on the phone, but I mean, I wish I had a real man. I mean, it's silly. It's a nod to Roger Moore, but it's also a totally new introduction to a more serious
Passing
Bond.
The torch.
Yeah. So, hey, man, I'm all about this. I love the opening title to The Living Daylights.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Jeff, what was your number 3?
The Spy Who Loved Me.
Mm-hmm.
The pullout thing is funny, but the awesome, but I just think the skiing and the parachute, it's just awesome. Like I watched again, like, man, this is so great.
Yeah.
I just think it's just, it really sums up like, you know, Bond films and epic, openings, pre-title sequences. And that to me, it's very high. Well, in fact, it's the third out of all of them for me. So there you go. 5 points.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay, Josh.
My number 3 is Tomorrow Never Dies.
All right.
David Arnold going John Barry nostalgia like no tomorrow. We get MI6 working as a team. We get Judi Dench. We get Colin Salmon there, Moneypenny, the old admiral, and, you know, being a jerk. And, you know, and Brosnan has never been so coolly efficient. Like that moment when he offers the light to like the mercenary or whatever who's like sitting there, that is, it just kicks into high gear right then and there, you know, and just doesn't stop. Yeah.
Nice one.
I remember seeing that scene in the theater with Granio, and that was a great moment, that opening. Fantastic.
Well, like I can tell you that Tomorrow Never Dies is currently in the lead with 12 points now that you've just closed that off. And The Living Daylights, just before that, has 11 points. So Tomorrow Never Dies currently in the lead here. Let's see what happens next. We're going to our second films. These are worth 6 points each.
So 006.
006. I think the second best pre-title sequence in the series is Skyfall. I love the beginning of this film. I think it's great action. I think it's great filming. Yep, I wish I wish that the last two Bond films carried on with this vibe. I like it's bright. I do agree with Josh that the tractor thing's a bit ridiculous, but it I don't is. Like, and the suit is a little too tight. I gotta say that as well. But everything else, everything else is great. On the train, the stakes are high, the shooting, the phone call. I love the cross-cutting. I think the whole thing is really immersive and really just great. So yeah, for me, 6 points. And that brings Skyfall to, let's see, 2 + 6 = 8 + 4 = 12. So it's in tied league. So we're going to have a...
Wow.
Yeah, we'll have a little discussion about that maybe in our next episode, how we break these ties. But on to you, Jeff, number two.
So you guys are going to laugh at me.
No, no.
And man, I am totally like not even on the same universe as you two in rating this, but I say Thunderball.
Okay, right? Okay.
Sure, and sure. So it's got Revenge, it's got Rocket Packs, and a DB5. So like, I mean, I don't know. I as much as, you know, like there's the speed issue with the action, but it's pretty brutal action. And it's, you know, it's fun. You say, hey, what, he's punching a woman? Oh no, it's a guy. And I don't know. I liked it. I liked the Rocket Pack, as cheesy as it is. I don't know, something about it. It was just like, you know, seeing like is it James Bond's funeral, talking about himself almost.
The JB on like the coffin. That's right.
I thought the action, it was pretty brutal. That was almost like Craig style, like, you know.
The strangulation with the poker was pretty badass. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know. I just, I thought it was pretty cool. And that's where I'm sticking to it. I thought it was pretty. And again, I go with nostalgia. So that's why I don't know what they're kids.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Technically there are other ones, but that's, you know, I'm done talking. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Josh.
My number two is The Spy Who Loved Me. Nice. Understandably so, you know, it sets up the story, sets up character conflicts, with Bond and with, you know, Anya. We get Bond on skis again, you know, mm-hmm, and we get that breathtaking, death defying ski jump, and the free fall is just, yeah. And then we also have the big moments too, that make you get right into the picture, you know, like the stealing of the submarines, and it's just like, the whole thing is just fantastic. And it's a great setup for the rest of the movie.
Yep.
Yeah, it sure is.
And sure is.
I agree with you, my good man, which is why I gave it the number one rating. Spy Who Loved Me is my top. I love this opening scene. I think most Bond fans love this opening scene.
So that's going to win then.
But on critique, like, you study it, what makes it work is working for all of us. It's explosive. It is partly ridiculous, but at the same time, so believable because of how it's filmed. Like, the most ridiculous thing in that scene is shooting outside of a ski pole. You know, everything else is actually done.
I don't know. The ticker tape from the watch is kind of like, annoying to like load all the time, you know?
That's a good point. So my number one is A Spy Who Loved Me, and that brings it to a total of 7, 6, and 5, which is 18 points for that
one. Wow, that's high.
I think that might be the
top.
Not
surprising.
But we'll see.
That's not surprising at all.
Yeah.
Not surprising.
Jeff, what was your number one, buddy?
Well, this, again, I go nostalgia, and I went with From Russia with Love.
You sure did.
Because technically it's the first film to do it.
It is.
It shows Bond dying, so that's crazy. And it captivates the audience, and it's well done.
You raise a good point.
And, you know, it shows, the only thing I didn't like is the sound of the mask being pulled off the face. I was
it's like a slurpy kind of sound. Yeah. But I think it's great too, because it sets up the menace of Grant, and then also like sets up the Panawire Grot thing, and like it works very well.
Well, that brings From Russia with Love to a total of 13 points. So Josh, we'll let you say it, even though if we've been keeping track, we know what your answer is.
Oh, well, it's peak Connery Bond, man. It's slick, it's explosive, and despite the bath, it ends dirty and gritty. It's Bond perfection. Goldfinger is my number one.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Well,
I totally get that.
Yeah, you cover that one well with 7 points. for you. Yes, you're 007. And we'll add Jeff's 4 to that. And then we'll add my 4 to that. So 7 plus 4, 4. That's 15 for Goldfinger. Which means our winner here in the tally is The Spy Who Loved Me. That is the number one ranked.
He does it better then.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that is The Spy Who Loved Me. Nobody does it better. I will double check these scores, but I can tell you our top ranked films here on the Bond by Numbers pre-title sequence rankathon evens out to be The Spy Who Loved Me at number one, Goldfinger at number two, From Russia with Love at number three, and then our bottom three are Diamonds Are Forever in 24th, Live and Let Die in 23rd, and Die Another Day in 22nd. And all the rest of it is in between.
It's funny how you brought Die Another Day
up.
up on your end, yeah. And then we managed to bring From Russia with Love up to the top. That's kind of
I know how that worked out. That is pretty cool. That especially like well done From Russia with Love because it had an 18 by me. I voted at 18. Yeah. So yeah, done indeed.
It crawled by.
It's because I voted number one.
That's what it was. Yeah.
Well,
that's
hey,
what it was. Yeah.
I'm
consistent with that. That's always high up for me in every single ranking. It's always high for me From Russia with Love.
Well, that's our take on the pre-title sequences, everybody. Thank you for listening along to that. Let us know your choices, your selections, and your feelings by getting in touch with us on the socials, bondbynumber3@gmail.com, if you want to drop us an email, or you can find us on Instagram at @BBN_pod. Let us know what you thought of that, and indeed, let us know what your favorite pre-titles are, because a Bond film needs a good pre-title sequence. If this conversation has underlined any point, it's that we all got different opinions, but we all like them.
Yeah, I think that balances things out.
All right. Good fun, guys. Thanks for doing that. Next on Bond by Numbers, we're going to have a what if. And it's a what if that we've been working on for a long time. We tried recording it once, but then we cut that idea because it wasn't really working. We've gone back into development. We finished this baby off and we're going to present it to listeners. It's a what if James Bond golden age of Hollywood. And I don't want to say too much, but do you want to maybe preview that a little?
Essentially, we choose a golden age filmmaker, producer, whatever, and they're doing a Bond film, and we choose actors and cast and crew, you know, from that period, and how these Bond films would have been told, how our particular Bond film would have been told in that period. So, can you imagine, say, like Errol Flynn as James Bond, or Cary Grant as James Bond, or Clark Gable is James Bond, and Basil Rathbone is Blofeld, that sort of stuff.
Exactly. I guess it's a bit of fun here as we look down the barrel of our last few episodes. Right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Unless there's anything else you want to add, let's stick a pin in it and away.
Our way away.
Okay. Toodles.
Cheers.